Hello and welcome back to the Damage Report. I'm Johnny DeRola. It's normally a solo sort of day on Thursdays, but blessedly today, Emma Vigeland is back in studio.
Blessed be the fruit. Thank you for
exactly.
having me, Johnny DeRola.
We are all under the camera's eye. But anyway, we're very lucky to have you here because you're in town for the week doing literally every show.
Yes.
You've got to be exhausted.
Yeah, I mean, it was like I was at a I was in Philly for the Michael Brooks Show podcast, then Trump rally, then Thanksgiving where I had 18 people, 5 dogs, no rest, then here. So I'm feeling great.
Exactly. Okay, well, we've got some feel good stories here. Normally I'm lying when I say that, but no, I think today we actually do. We're gonna be starting off with impeachment. The charges are being charged and we're charging forward with that. But we've also got what should we have focused on yesterday in the impeachment inquiry? The important unacceptable scandal, we'll be talking about that. But then we've got updates on policy towards food stamps. We've got the Sunrise Movement scoring the top 3 candidates in the Democratic primary. So that is very important. We've also got some other polls in the Democratic primary. We don't often focus too much on the standings and everything, but there's some important movement here that I think we would be remiss if we weren't to focus on. And we'll be closing out with a brawl between Star-Lord and Aquaman. It's how I want to finish every Damage Report. I don't often get to. So lots to come, but stick around, should be fun. We're gonna be starting off though with impeachment. Today, impeachment charges announced by Nancy Pelosi. Not only we're gonna have that video for you, but also a stressful, tense exchange between her and a reporter. So stick around for that. But first, here is the actual announcement.
Our democracy is what is at stake. The president leaves us no choice but to act because he is trying to corrupt once again the election for his own benefit. The president has engaged in abuse of power, undermining our national security and jeopardizing the integrity of our elections. His actions are in defiance of the vision of our founders and the oath of office that he takes to preserve, protect, and defend the Constitution of the United States. Sadly, but with confidence and humility, with allegiance to our founders and a heart full of love for America, today I am asking our chairman to proceed with articles of impeachment.
Okay, if you want details on the current idea of what those charges individually might be, how many there might be, up on the YouTube channel for the Damage Report. I did a live video breaking that down earlier today. But we expect that there will be several, and just important, bear in mind, only one needs to actually be supported by the House for impeachment to happen.
Yeah, she continues to aggressively be uncharismatic, but I do like that they're moving forward. I mean, it's crazy that it took this long because, again, you only need a simple majority in the House to then move it to the Senate, and the Democrats have had the majority for a while now. So Pelosi should have moved forward more quickly, but I'm glad she's doing the right thing in this instance.
Yeah, the question will be, I don't want to focus too much on the charges, but there was a source in the House Judiciary Committee that implied that there might be a charge related to obstruction of justice, not in this particular case, but having to do with the Mueller report, which I did not expect because they said that they were gonna keep this constrained to the Ukraine scandal. If they were to have at least one charge that had to do with something about obstruction of justice with the Mueller report, do you think that that would help or hurt the effort?
Well, artificially confining it to just the Ukraine or just Ukraine, I don't get.
We can't help but say that.
I don't get why that's important, but it is. It was self-defeating already and bizarre. So I mean, Trump has clearly, as outlined in the Mueller report, committed potentially impeachable offenses, and you had to go through that process. I don't know why you would constrict yourself, except that you kind of made the determination that the Russia story was politically disastrous for you in the polls or something, which I would say it's more convoluted than what we see with the Ukraine, which was a clear quid pro quo. But so that's, I think, why maybe she tried to make those political machinations, but it still didn't make sense. You have to, if the president is doing something illegal, you have to move forward with looking into those, no matter what the political ramifications might be.
Exactly. Now, after the bit of video that you saw, the press conference went forward, she went to leave the room, but that was not the last we heard from her. Thanks to Sinclair Broadcasting reporter James Rosen, who left Fox News after sexual harassment allegations, he had a question of Nancy Pelosi at the last minute.
you hate the president, Madam Speaker? Because
I don't hate anybody. Representative Collins yesterday suggested that the Democrats are doing this simply because they don't like the guy.
I have nothing to do with
it. I think it's an important point.
I think the president is a coward when it comes to helping our kids who are afraid of gun violence. I think he is cruel when he doesn't deal with helping our dreamers, of which we're very proud. I think he's in denial about the climate crisis. However, that's about the election. This is about the election. Take it up in the election. This is about the Constitution of the United States and the facts that lead to the president's violation of his oath of office. And as a Catholic, I resent your using the word hate in a sentence that addresses me. I don't hate anyone. I was raised in a way that is full, a heart full of love, and always prayed for the president. And I still pray for the president. I pray for the president all the time. So don't mess with me when it comes to words like that.
Okay, so in the morning I have to produce the show. Okay, I'm not accusing. In the morning I have to find, like, if I want to have videos to show, I got to find them. So on Twitter, I tried to find videos of Nancy Pelosi announcing the articles of impeachment, and it was difficult because that video was all you could find. Because did you see she melted down? She had a hysterical fit. She was smiling. It was weird, don't get me wrong. It was awkward. I will drink the blood of the firstborn.
Yeah, she wasn't calling the press like the enemy of the people, for instance.
Yeah, that's good. That's
right,
good.
Right. Yeah, thank you, John. But yeah, no, I mean, the gesturing was unbelievable, but like, I just couldn't. I didn't get what this was, but you pointed out to me that it was a solidarity
bracelet. Some sort of ban having to do with gun violence.
But you know what? The as a Catholic thing, I don't get it. Like, as a Catholic, there are a lot of Catholics who have voted for terrible things like the Iraq War. Pelosi did oppose the Iraq War, so credit to her there. But I don't like artificially bringing religion into it and saying that you can't say the H word.
Yeah.
It sounds like I'm getting lectured by my grandma, but I'm happy that she stood up to this kind of sleazy reporter. Yeah. I just find all sides are a little insufferable and on their own high horses.
I'm not ready. Like, first of all, she didn't lose it in a way that made her look bad, but I'm also not gonna do
yes,
that. I don't care.
Catholic.
Yeah, there's a couple of queens I'll yes, but none of them. I was gonna say none are in politics. One's in politics, but she's not it. But anyway, I don't wanna harp on this too much, except the right, that's their whole thing these days. Like, Ben Shapiro tweeted about that. Like, does anyone watch that and not think she hates Trump? What do you care about someone's feelings, Ben Shapiro? What does that have to do with anything? I looked in the Constitution, it doesn't say you can only impeach a president if you're his biggest fan.
Yeah.
Doesn't have anything to do with anything. Ben Shapiro likes every politician. Does Donald Trump like Nancy Pelosi? No, all this is BS. Who cares? It has nothing to do with anything.
I know. Well, I mean, it was a question designed to inflame debate and be like, you know, make her seem emotional. So there is that sexist element as well, which we should point out. But obviously, her reaction was a little bizarre. Glad she stood up to him. Don't understand what Catholicism has to do with it. But Merry Christmas.
And happy holidays. Okay, we gotta take a short break. When we come back, yesterday, the impeachment scandal that you should have been focusing on after this.
We need to talk about a relatively new show called the Republic, or UNFTR. As a Young Turks fan, you already know that the government, the media, and corporations are constantly peddling lies that serve the interests of the rich and powerful. But now there's a podcast dedicated to unraveling those lies, debunking the conventional wisdom. In each episode of the Republic, or UNFTR, the host delves into a different historical episode or topic that's generally misunderstood or purposely obfuscated by the so-called powers that be, featuring in-depth research, razor-sharp commentary, and just the right amount of vulgarity. The UNFTR podcast takes a sledgehammer to what you thought you knew about some of the nation's most sacred historical cows. But don't just take my word for it. The New York Times described UNFTR as consistently compelling and educational, aiming to challenge conventional wisdom and upend the historical narratives that were taught in school. For as the great philosopher Yoda once put it,
"You must unlearn what you have learned."
And that's true whether you're in Jedi training or you're uprooting and exposing all the propaganda and disinformation you've been fed over the course of your lifetime. So search for UNFDR in your podcast app today and get ready to get informed, angered, and entertained all at the same time.
At yesterday's impeachment hearing, one of the Democratic witnesses, Professor Pamela Karlan, said something that was so evil, so offensive, so over the line that it can't even see the line anymore, that it's a wonder she wasn't dragged out of there in chains. Take a look at the offending comment.
I'll just give you one example that shows you the difference between him and a king, which is the Constitution says there can be no titles of nobility. So while the president can name his son Baron, he can't make him a baron.
It's a play on words.
Oh my God.
It's a coup. Just
she
kidding.
Said his name.
How dare you do a pun?
A pun. Okay, so this is what Melania said. A minor child deserves privacy and should be kept out of politics. Pamela Karlan, you should be ashamed of your very angry and obviously biased public pandering and using a child to do it. Now, look, admittedly, she's Baron's mom. If anybody gets to have a view, she totally does.
I don't really have a problem with her, you know, standing up for her son or whatever. I mean, it's completely misguided, and she's married to the most craven man in America, but whatever. This is
and bear in mind she spread the racist birther conspiracy theory.
Baron in mind.
If you're one of the parents, then you get to have a view. She's definitely the mom. Trump might be the dad. They get to have a view on this, okay? But everybody piled in. Mike Pence, I just heard at the hearing today, one of the Democrats' witnesses actually used the president and first lady's 13-year-old son to justify their partisan impeachment. Democrats should be ashamed.
Enough is enough. Not at all.
They used it to justify? Like that was the last bit of evidence needed, was Barron Trump. Now we can impeach.
Because his name also means some sort of monarchic ruler. I don't even know the full definition of Baron here.
It's one of the layers of nobility.
Nobility.
But then the right wing picked it up too. Laura Ingraham, Karlan's cheap shot invoking Baron Trump's name, spelled incorrectly, just lost them any shred of hope that they're going to win this impeachment battle in the court of public opinion. Yes, because Laura Ingraham, she above all else, well, besides white people controlling literally every aspect of society, but below that, she wants civility, and that's why she is always nice and kind. It's all fake.
Yeah, it's all fake outrage.
Fake.
And manufactured.
This is the sort of stuff that regular people, like, they would look at this and be like, don't lie to me that you care about this. The right says that the left likes to get offended about things.
And the left
caves. This
isn't
like choosing, exactly.
Which is what Karlan did.
Which happened. So Karlan later said, "I want to apologize for what I said earlier about the president's son. It was wrong of me to do that. I wish the president would apologize, obviously, for the things that he's done that's wrong. But I do regret having said that."
Said what? Done? You did a pun. Puns are fun. Bearing that in mind, I will repeat
it. It's almost in the name.
Right.
So here's the thing. There are jokes that are offensive. There are jokes that seem like they're less jokes than just offensive things. But there is little that bothers me more than people who pretend not to get who the target of a joke is. That joke uses Baron. Baron's not the target. It's not a joke at Baron's offense. It's a joke at Trump's offense, but not Baron Trump's. And everybody gets that. Some people are honest about it, some lie about it. Because what the right wants is to distract you from the indisputable fact that the evidence shows that the president used legitimately, lawfully allocated foreign aid money to help extort the Ukrainian government into helping him to win the 2020 election. That's the fact of yesterday. But if you can cover that with, what about the children? Then maybe you can get some people to forget about the fact that the president did something that is clearly impeachable.
Snowflakes, they're that concerned about the pun. It's because they're like emotional. The way they're reacting to this is the way that they accuse the left of reacting to every joke that they do that is actually offensive on Fox News. Someone like Laura Ingraham is constantly saying racially insensitive at the very minimum things. And then they go, why are you so sensitive? She made a pun with Barron Trump's name. Why are you so sensitive? Why so sensitive?
Yes, yes. Yeah, and that should be the end of it. There's no reason why we should have to point out the obvious hypocrisy. Look, yes, I acknowledge generally there is sensitivity about the kids of presidents being brought up. And there was a Republican staffer who was fired for comments about Sasha and Malia. That's true. Rush Limbaugh called Chelsea the White House dog back in the 90s. I'm sure Laura Ingraham would have hated that comment, clearly. But like, let's just go quickly through the whole thing. Like, Trump locks up kids. Several kids have died in his watch at the border because he cares so little about them. When she went down to see these kids, she decided to wear a jacket tailor-made to show you how little she cared about that incident. He mocked Greta Thunberg on Twitter, saying she seems like a very happy young girl looking forward to a bright and wonderful future. So nice to see, because they care about these teens and how they're treated online. Trump cares about young people who are bullied. It's all fake and stupid.
Agreed.
I don't even mean this. I mean everything.
Everything.
It's all fake and stupid. Anyway, the important fact is what we've already discussed. This is just a sideshow. Okay, we're gonna take a short break. We come back, big federal change to how food stamp money is gonna be allocated after this. Big change, not surprising considering how cruel the Trump administration has been, but we knew changes were coming to the federal food stamp program, and they are here. The Trump administration, brushing aside literally tens of thousands of protest letters, gave final approval on Wednesday to a rule that will remove nearly 700,000 people from the federal food stamp program by strictly enforcing federal work requirements. The change is expected to shave nearly $5.5 billion from food stamp spending over 5 years. That's one way to put it, shaving it. It's cutting federal funding for food stamps by literally billions of dollars by an administration that decided, you know what, $1.5 to $2 trillion, take it, top 0.1 of 1%. They handed over so much money, and now they're gonna have to pay for it. And they're not gonna have the rich do it. They're gonna have people who literally need federal assistance to make sure that they have enough to eat each day. They're gonna put it on their backs. Now, really fast, let's go over some of how this is gonna be done. The department has also proposed a rule that would close what it calls a loophole that allows people with incomes up to 200% of the poverty level. That's about $50,000 for a family of four. So clearly, these are, think of like the pharaohs of old. They're like living like in opulence and luxury. They won't apparently be able to receive food stamps once this change is made. That's gonna strip nearly 3 million people of their benefits, and nearly 1 million children would lose automatic eligibility for free or reduced price school meals. Look, I'm joking to some extent, because with stories like this, I have to not lose my mind. But the constant assaults on food stamps of all programs in December of all months for a Christian administration, that is something.
Oh yes, I'm sure Mike Pence sleeps very well on his pillow, you know, like the Christian that he is. Yeah, I mean, part of the reasoning that they cited for this abject cruelty was that the economy is doing well and everyone has jobs, so no one needs it anymore. Well, so you're so committed to this fiction that the economy is doing well because unemployment is low and that underemployment isn't a real thing and that not everyone doesn't have benefits and it's a gig economy and everyone isn't making enough money. Yeah, you're so committed to that fiction that you're just going to be gratuitously mean. And that's because what the administration feeds off of is this perception that there are takers, mm-hmm. and that, you know, feeding to the base that, like, oh yeah, it's the welfare queens, it's the black people, it's the brown people that are really just sucking the resources out of the government, when in reality it's the oil subsidies, it's the tax cuts for the rich, it's everyone on top. It's the oldest trick in the book, and the fact that they're still able to get away with it astounds me, because Reagan, you know, started this to a large extent. And I think when we see the resurgent left, we're beginning to be able to combat this fiction, but it's proving harder and harder than I thought it should be.
Yeah. Yeah. And the amount, like, this is such a tiny little drop in the additional tax cuts that they just gave.
Exactly.
The wealthy, let alone previous rounds of tax cuts.
And just a quick point, sorry. Like even if there's a tiny amount of waste, this is a program that's going to benefit, the majority of people are not abusing it. And mm-hmm. there's always government waste with every program.
Yeah.
So what do you value? Would you rather have a program that allows people to eat, or would you rather crack down and eliminate most of that program because there's a tiny, tiny amount of waste when, you know, you could make up for that money in like a 0.001% tax increase on the wealthy?
Exactly. And this is the sort of change that thankfully and kind of surprisingly, when it was announced yesterday, I mean, we'd known about some of the details, but when the final results were announced yesterday, I actually saw quite a bit of discussion about it on social media. There was coverage of it on the major news sources, and that's good, and that's fleeting and already leaving. By Monday, there's not gonna be much talk about this, and it will have been just another thing to add to the long pile of incredibly cruel and needless assaults on people who can least weather these sorts of assaults that we've experienced over the last couple of years. And again, it's just a reminder, a daily reminder of the power of the presidency and why you don't casually hand it over to someone for some sort of political strategy. Donald Trump gets to do this. People, hundreds of thousands or millions of people will suffer. Some potentially could die. We know that already so many kids go to sleep in America literally every night having not had enough to eat. This will increase that. And this will be one more thing that, best case scenario, we get a progressive in 2020, they will have another battle that they will have to wage just to get back to the status quo of pre-2017. And so we just keep adding things to that pile. And it just gets harder and harder when we already have so much that that president is going to have to do to make it so that they need to reverse all of the environmental regulation changes and now food stamps, all the budgetary changes. They have to reassemble the staffs of so many federal departments that have been gutted over the past couple of years, or had people put in who are directly, they're there to subvert its goals, its mission statement. It's just a reminder of how bad things have gotten.
Yeah, because their mission, again, is not to govern. It is to get rid of government and break government down, because one, benefits corporations, but two, the philosophy of these Ayn Randian radical conservatives is that government is basically an obstacle to get over, as opposed to something that could actually do good in the world, which is an archaic philosophy that has been proven wrong time and time again in countries mm-hmm. all over Europe and around the world. Countries like Brazil, where you had Lula, a strong progressive, 80% approval, lifted millions out of poverty just countless times. But because in the United States, we are so committed to this fiction of individualism, and it's so pervasive in our society, Republicans can get away with terrible things like this, where they blame government programs or a tiny amount of waste of government programs on the poor, on the least fortunate, and are able to get away with murder at the very top.
Yeah. And one final thing. I know that this is a go-to and it's been done many times. We have not talked about this sort of thing in a while, but just to put it into perspective, they're saying they need to cut out the waste. Also, some philosophical opposition to people being poor, they think that they deserve it, but they gotta cut out the waste. So $5.5 billion over 5 years is about $1.1 billion per year. So to give you an idea of what you could get, theoretically, you could cut other things to get to that same amount. President Donald Trump's golf hobby has now cost Americans an estimated $115 million in travel and security expenses. So hypothetically, if he had just not played golf, that would pay for 10% of 1 year of these food stamps that, again, affects hundreds of thousands of people. This is one man's hobby versus a crush of possibly up to millions of people's ability to get enough food to survive. That would go a measurable way towards covering that gap that they say is there. Okay, we're gonna take a short break. When we come back, we're gonna transition into some important polling results, and also the Sunrise Movement has now scored some of the top Democratic candidates. We're gonna give you the results of that after this. Today, the Sunrise Movement, probably the biggest youth-led climate group in the US, which has done an incredible amount in just 1 year to refocus attention on the climate crisis and an actual plan to do something about it, has now released their scorecard for three of the Democratic primary contenders. And with a score of 91.5%, the independent senator from Vermont edged out his fellow New England progressive Senator Elizabeth Warren, who scored 82.5%. So Bernie Sanders is on top. They put out a tweet saying, Green New Deal scorecards are in. What would these look like as grades? Bernie's got an A-, Warren with a B-, and Biden gets an F-, and has to do parent-teacher conference time. I don't even think there are F-minuses, are
there? Yes, no, there's just F. But a 37.5% on the test, that would be a territory for grounding and taking my computer away.
Exactly. So. Now, that does not mean that they think that he would be an absolute disaster and Trump would probably score quite a bit lower. But to give you an idea of how they actually did the scoring, we're not gonna go through all of it, but take a look at this. You can see the full scorecard. They break down these different areas. So this is just on emissions reduction ambitions. So they scored, and you can see the scale, on all of these different things, mobilizing resources, emissions timelines, ending the extraction of oil and gas. It's very comprehensive on the actual plan, on your strategy to actually make the plan win and get passed into law, and how you communicate around these issues. Those are the different areas that they scored on, not equally, by the way. Bernie Sanders did win. Now, on policy specifics, Sanders outscored Warren for vowing to immediately stop construction of new fossil fuel infrastructure if elected, which Warren has not done. Warren's anti-corruption plan, though, gave her higher marks than Sanders for reforming rulemaking at federal agencies. It's one of those strategy score things they did. Joe Biden, who is currently the top polling candidate nationally, did, as Emma said, just get 37.5, partially because his climate plan is very vague in many respects, which seems important.
Vagueness seems to permeate his campaign.
Yeah. By the way, Evan Weber's, the Sunrise's political director, says all the candidates have areas where they can improve. So they're not endorsing any of these candidates right now. Just bear that in mind. And by the way, they do have plans to score three more Democratic candidates this year: Pete Buttigieg, Cory Booker, and Andrew Yang. So right now there are the three. They expect that they will be expanding that, but they're basically going by like polling position.
Yeah, and so also Bernie Sanders will be striking with the Sunrise Movement and climate activists in Iowa upcoming. I actually forget the date, but that just goes to show.
I think it's the 6th.
The 6th. So the candidates. One is specifically, I think, showing solidarity with activists, leftist activists, and that includes the climate change activists on the Sunrise Movement who have done incredible work. I mean, I will never forget the day where they stormed Pelosi's office, and I was there, and AOC joined. Yeah, I know. Well, you know, this is what happens when you live in California, and I live on the East Coast, and it's just better. And I was able to go. Yeah, I lost my train of thought. You go.
That's probably for the best. Okay, so yes, and I believe, by the way, correct me if I'm wrong, I think December 6th might be the 1 year anniversary of that protest, I think. And so I believe there's gonna be a lot of actions across the country having to do with that. But good work by the Sunrise Movement. There was nothing like this, the most comprehensive scorecard for this sort of set of policies. And I look forward to seeing how they rate some of the other plans in the future. Okay, with that, why don't we turn to the Democratic primary? There's been a pretty massive change in the polling on California, although you would not necessarily know that just by looking at the headlines. Headline on the LA Times earlier today said, Warren and Biden lose ground in California's shifting 2020 Democratic race. Oh, I see, so they lost a little bit of support, so they're still in first and second, right? No, let's take a look at the actual polling. Bernie Sanders is now up 2 points over Elizabeth Warren, taking first in California, which is important for a number of different reasons, not least of which is that it has by far the most delegates out of any state in the entire country. Now, to be fair, they eventually changed their headline to be something like Warren and Biden lose ground, Sanders moves ahead. But it's not what they would, like if it was Buttigieg, the headline would be Pete Buttigieg first in California. That's just what it would be.
And it's not like Bernie Sanders putting his name in a headline drives traffic to your article or anything like that. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you want to include the stalwart of online support, Joe Biden, to make sure everyone clicks.
Exactly, exactly. But there is a little bit more in that I want to get to. So let's go back to that polling result graphic. And you're going to see that Bernie is now up by 2 points, by the way, rising since June when he was at 17%. And he is, again, at first. Elizabeth Warren is close, by the way. And in this sort of state level poll, 2%, that's a wash. But Joe Biden is a good chunk down. Pete Buttigieg has shot up to almost tying Joe Biden. And Kamala Harris, who during the time when they were doing this poll was still running, was at 7% in her own state.
Which must have informed her decision. And some of the people who were dissecting this said that basically an embarrassment in California was one of the major reasons that she chose to drop out early.
Exactly.
Although, she could have burned more time, gone to the December debate, which she qualified for. Mm-hmm. But I guess saving face was the primary objective, even though the California primary is a few months away.
Exactly. And so what I think is important about this is I am, and a lot of people are looking at the first four states. Generally, the first two, especially Iowa, New Hampshire, what's gonna happen there? How might that affect the later states? Then you have South Carolina and Nevada. Those are important too. And the people who are leading in those third and fourth states, generally different than first and second. Pete Buttigieg is doing really well in Iowa, but once you get into South Carolina, I don't even know if his name is on that list. And so that's important. But the thing is, California used to be way later in the cycle. Now it's been pushed up. It's going to be part of Super Tuesday. And so even if, like, let's say Bernie does well in Iowa, New Hampshire, which is generally expected that he'll do pretty well, and then maybe stumbles in South Carolina. If he has a big showing in California, that's not just getting first, that's potentially getting a big chunk of delegates.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, California is massive for him. And I do think, look, he's gonna do well in Iowa and New Hampshire. I can't foresee a situation where he's, like, at minimum, he'll be in third. At minimum. I mean, those states, specifically New Hampshire, where he won in 2016, and it was very important to his candidacy. I can't foresee a situation where he won't do well. And that sets him up very well going into that now even Super Tuesday, which is gonna be significant.
Yeah. And by the way, this is a quick note, because we're gonna talk a lot more about this next year. But I wanna make sure that, especially if this is the first primary that you've been really following on a day-to-day basis, the way that the primary is done on the Democratic side is different than the Republican side. And it's very important how it's different, in that the Democratic states their delegates are allocated on a proportional basis. There are some in the Republican side, but the Republicans have a lot of winner take all states, which means that if you win a state, even by just a little bit, it's a big chunk of delegates that you get, and maybe nobody else gets any. What happened in the 2016 race was that Bernie did really well in the early states, had a really rough Super Tuesday, and that put him in the hole in a way that was always going to be very difficult to catch up on. It meant that even if he were to win states, it might only gain him a few net delegates each time. And the more that are allocated, the more you have to win the later ones by to catch up. So bear that in mind as we go into this. A lot of people, I think grifters strung people along, implying that the rules were different than they are. But that's why it's important to get out ahead early. Okay, and to win big, you can't just win. It matters how much you win by.
Yes, exactly. And the fact that he didn't do well on Super Tuesday just gave the media an extra excuse to pile on and say that the lead was insurmountable, even as he gained name recognition as it came along, because Super Tuesday happened so early in the primary process. Now that California's been added to it, it's even more important to get out to an early lead. And additionally, back in 2016, they were adding super delegates to the count. Those aren't voted on later. The media was adding them on top to make it seem like Sanders, it was like he was down by,
900
when it wasn't even the reality, the super delegates vote later. So just something to keep in mind. Yes, a lot of this primary is going to be determined, and the tone that's going to be set is going to be determined quite early on. And California is going to matter a ton. So that's just something that we need to keep in mind. And then just also quickly about Elizabeth Warren. Her drop is substantial.
Not just
in California, but nationally. Although nationally,
she had a big lead.
She did. Nationally, last thing about that. It's all going to be affected by Iowa, New Hampshire, South Carolina. Like, the national polls don't mean much. Like, Biden's leading, but I don't think he's going to win Iowa. I don't think he's going to win New Hampshire. He might win South Carolina, What is the next state that is a surefire for him to win?
A surefire, I mean, I would have to look.
I can't think of one.
Yeah.
So, like, just keeping that in mind about his national lead, not to get complacent, but national polls mean little because the winds shift the national polls, and really where it all matters is actually Iowa, New Hampshire.
And bear in mind, if it's close after that initial set, then how much money you have to go in last minute, open up a whole bunch of campaign offices, run a bunch of ads is gonna be really important. And we know that for Joe Biden, a guy who doesn't seem set to take off in the beginning, his fundraising went down a ton in the fourth quarter. That is
great
not
point,
where you want to be.
Because his donors have maxed out. When you only go to rich people, they can only legally donate a certain amount. That's why he's expanded and said, now I will accept super PAC money. When you run a grassroots campaign like Warren and like Sanders and like Warren to a lesser extent, but still very grassroots, they can tap in to small dollar donors who haven't maxed out because they're giving $10, $25 throughout the primary process. And that's a huge advantage to them. So not only does it help with their integrity and their perception with the voters and the fact that they're uncorrupted, but it also helps strategically.
Yeah. Let's turn to a slightly different aspect of this, though. What do the voters think about the Democratic primary contenders on individual personality characteristics, electoral characteristics, and the actual positions on the issues? Well, Reuters has some new results, and they think that the best candidate on, for instance, healthcare is, you can see the breakdown right here, 25% say Sanders, 15 Biden, 13 Warren, and it drops from there. Now, that is of course important because healthcare is one of the biggest issues this time around. You also have things like the environment where there Sanders is again, has a 6-point lead over Biden who's in second. There's things like strong progressive. I would be shocked if Sanders didn't win that. But 14% saying that Biden's a strong progressive. So I bring this up because there was another round of poll results like this a couple weeks ago. And on all of the major issue areas at the time that I can remember, Bernie was up, but he wasn't up overall in that same poll. Like the people were like, you know, I think Bernie's best on healthcare. I think he's best on the environment. I think he's best on foreign policy, and I'm gonna support Biden. And that I thought was very weird.
Because they think we need someone who can defeat Trump. And the fiction that Joe Biden is the best candidate to defeat Trump is pervasive and something that we should be combating every single day in our jobs, because we gotta do that. But also you guys make it clear that a populist, someone who's actually gonna change the system and provides an alternative vision for America as opposed to just Trump bad malarkey is actually the best candidate to defeat Trump, because that is the reality.
Yeah, and look, I wanna be fair because I respect you. I'm not gonna be one of the people who tries to shield you from any inconvenient truth or whatever. It is not universal that Bernie is winning in this. When you go to what people think who's the best on the economy and jobs, Biden has a 4-point lead there. And that is not a nothing category, that's not a small thing. He's also up by 1 point in immigration. So it's a smaller gap there, but he is first there. But as you pointed out, most likely to beat Trump in the general election, Biden has double what Sanders has there. So people really do think that Biden is the most likely to win. I wanna ask you a question. We're in a bubble, you're in a different bubble, you're in the East Coast bubble. Could we be wrong? Is Biden actually the most likely to win the general election? I think we should at least consider it.
Should we pull up the image of him sucking on his wife's finger?
But that's the, well, okay, this is the primary. It doesn't seem to be hurting him when he sucks on fingers.
Even if you concede, well, but again, these national polls are artificial. Even if you concede that, like, a centrist, fine, you want a centrist, that's the best person to defeat Trump. I think that's idiotic, but whatever. His mental faculties are not all there, and I think it's crazy to throw him into the general election is suicide.
Well, I just put this out there. If you support a non-Biden candidate, this is important. You can't afford to forget that people still are convinced that he is the most likely to win. Really fast, one other result. College Reaction and Axios released a poll showing that college student support has shifted a little bit. Elizabeth Warren has actually dropped a couple of points there. Bernie Sanders has 22.5% of the college student vote, 7 points higher than back in September. But there is breaking news in the Democratic primary. Joe Biden probably moving into easy street now because John Kerry has endorsed him.
Oh, that'll move the needle.
I'm kidding. I don't hate John Kerry as much as some people. He's wrong on some pretty important issues. But it just, he was the candidate. Isn't that weird? It seems so like that he's gonna be out on the trail. I don't know what possible effect that could have. Am I wrong? Are there a lot of people who've just been sitting for the past decade and a half thinking, what does Kerry think?
You know, I get emails from Biden's campaign all the time, and all they do is talk about all these endorsements he's racking up.
Yeah, like, well, he's getting a lot.
One, what is wrong with you? Politicians, even if you're just looking out for your own interests, he's just crazy. But two, like, no one cares.
Yeah.
No one cares.
Yeah. Okay, we're going to take a short break because we also don't care. But anyway, we're going to come back. A little bit of fun to close out the show. It's the Marvel DC crossover event of the year, with Star-Lord being attacked by Aquaman over this photo. Take a look and see if you can figure out what caused this clash of superheroes. You've got Chris Pratt there. There's a promotional photo for his new thing.
Fitness.
What do you think it is? It's that he's using a cardio machine and not doing enough free weights. Okay, that's it for the show. I'm kidding, it's not. So Jason Momoa took issue of that Chris Pratt Instagram post and messaged him saying, bro, I love you, but WTF on the water bottle, no single use plastic, come on.
He commented it,
that's what I mean. Right, messaged publicly, I guess.
Yes.
To which Star-Lord responded, Aquaman, you're completely right. He swears that he brings around a big gallon size reusable water jug, but if I remember correctly, someone threw that plastic bottle to me in the photo shoot because I didn't know what to do with my hands. My bad. I don't want your home of Atlantis covered in plastic. Hear that, kids? Reduce, reuse, recycle.
So obviously they hate each other.
Clearly.
Yeah. Well,
they used to be friends up until this.
Yeah, I mean, good exchange. Mm-hmm. Great response by Chris Pratt. Love Jason Momoa, but you know, like.
But that's what I'm curious about.
It's
this is the sort
annoying.
Of thing that like I'm assuming like Ben Shapiro is going off about this right now.
Yeah.
But is Khal Drogo wrong?
He's not wrong. I think everyone should do everything they can to reduce their carbon footprint. But at the same time, we do live in a society. We exist in a society. AOC does not bike ride down from Queens to DC. And there are instances where things like plastic water bottles are used, and that's because and the reason the onus is on us to reduce our own carbon footprint is because our government isn't doing anything about it. In fact, doing negative things. So I think that we should all do our own part, but the onus is really on the institutional framework, the government itself.
I 100% agree. On this, I'm focused much more on the plastic pollution angle in this than the carbon. And I get it. What I think is important is I don't think that Jason Momoa, if he was hanging out with Chris Pratt at his house and Chris Pratt had a bottle, I don't think it would be a big issue. I think it's about the presentation in an official capacity. It's similar to how people had issues with, like movies glorifying like cigarette use or something like that.
Yeah.
It's that people look up to these people. Chris Pratt has a lot of people who look up to him. And plastic bottles are a big issue, so if you can pose with it or not pose with it, that's a relatively small change for someone who influences people, I think.
Totally, and I see what you're saying, specifically because it was a promotional shoot. I'm not like mad at anyone here.
You hate Jason Momoa. What it is.
Khal Drogo.
Can I give just a stat or two?
Yeah.
Just important to make sure that people understand this, because we talk about plastic pollution quite a bit on the Damage Report. Humans buy about 1 million plastic bottles per minute in total. Only about 23% of them will eventually be recycled. That's per minute, just bear that in mind. And Brett just showed this to me today. This is new information. The amount of microplastic in our ocean, that is pieces of plastic measuring smaller than 5 millimeters, is 1 million times greater than previously estimated, according to new research. That's a lot more. Plastic pollution, a huge and growing problem. Like, and I know we already got so much, we gotta deal with climate change and all that. But like, I go into our kitchen and I am just, I cannot believe how much plastic there is. You can't unwrap a thing without it being plastic.
Yeah, it's inordinate and it's insane how much plastic there is. And the fact that we think we're kind of, doing a great thing by recycling, and we all should recycle, but the waste is still so over the top, obviously, a million times. And there's only so much we can do on an individual level.
I agree.
With our own processes. And even the institutions that they've created, like recycling, it's not enough.
Yeah. Well, thank you as always for joining me when you're here.
Thank you.
We love having you here. Thank you everybody for watching. We got Brett Ehrlich tomorrow, so that should be what it is. You know, sometimes fun. I'm kidding. But anyway, it should be a lot of fun. We do have a lot more to cover tomorrow, so we will see you early tomorrow. Thanks for listening to the full episode of The Damage Report. Support our work, listen ad-free, access members-only bonus content, and more by subscribing to Apple Podcasts at apple.co/TYT. I'm your host, John Adirola. I'll see you soon.